Welcome to episode 163 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Today we're going to take a look at the winners of the agriculture assignment and set the stage for the next assignment, which is going to be on portraits. It's another one of those ad lib sort of days. Again, been very busy, so I had no time to sort of prepare a transcript. I've had no time to do any preparation really, except for just check out who's won and take a look at the images. Before we do jump in to look at the winners, I wanted to say, you know, that it was probably one of the toughest assignments to vote for, just because the quality was great, and you know there were so many that I wanted to sort of to apply my votes to. So again, thanks to everybody that got involved, thanks to everybody that voted, and let's jump right in and take a look at who got the most votes. So remember that if you're one of the people that types in the image number into the podcast, the bottom of the menu, the podcast menu on martinbaileyphotography.com, then for members' images, you have to prefix it with an M for member. And the first image that we're going to look at today is, let me just click around here again, it's image M11110. So four ones and a zero. And this is an image by Helen H, and that's Helen Hooker from England. And this is, just waiting for the image to load up. It's a beautiful image. I can see from the EXIF data that, actually not from the EXIF data, sorry, from the data that Helen has input when uploading the image, that it's from my home country of England, West Sussex. And it's just a really nice sort of autumn harvest, image. We've got the wheat or barley or whatever that's been harvested and cut. And then there's these rolls that you see so much these days. And this actually reminds me very much of Hokkaido, the place that I love to visit so much, because they do a similar thing there. And it's, these sort of big round bales, like cylinders, are placed across the landscape. And what Ellen's done is she's cut in very, cropped in very close on one of these bales that has, it's been cut off, maybe the left 20% or so has been cut off on the left of the screen. And I think that adds a lot of drama, and, the lighting here, we can see by the angle of the shadow that's being cast by this bale of hay, that it's slightly over Helen's left shoulder. The sun is slightly over Helen's left shoulder, and what we've got is like a nice shadow that leads our eye into the shot. And then as you look through into the distance, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more of these tiny sort of, as they get off into the distance, sometimes very tiny bales, maybe more. But then what happens as you get to the horizon, at least what happens to my eye when you get to the horizon, is that there's these clouds, these beautiful sort of fluffy clouds that lift up into they go up at a right angle diagonal up into the right side of the image. And then, there's a couple of ones layers across, but then there's some more that go up at this angle, and they lead you into a nice dark cloud that's, they're all on a very beautiful pale blue sky. But then this dark cloud makes up the whole sort of top of the image, and it looks pretty heavy, and almost as though it's going to rain. But it's it's just sort of led up into that, and then you can move across, with the wispy sort of bits of cloud that are coming off the bottom, and then there's a break in the cloud over the left, and that actually, for me at least, sort of brings me over to the left of the frame, and then allows me to come back down into the image and to start the whole process again. So relatively simple in terms of what's in the shot, but I think very effective. And you all agree, obviously. What I should say is I'm talking about this one first, but this was actually joint second with the next image that we'll look at, with exactly the same number of votes. So it's not really third; it's like joint second. So congratulations to Helen on this lovely image, and you made me a little bit homesick here, I think. And let me jump back over to the podcast page where I've got the links to the images. The next one, as I say, joint second. This is by a user called Flying Doc, and that's actually Paul Grinsey from Australia. And I hope I'm not butchering your name, Paul. If I am, please reprimand me as necessary in the forums. Let me go back. I had to go back here. This again, beautiful shot. I can see from the notes in the image that this is in Victoria, Australia, and just a beautiful image. In the captions, we can see that it's a stitched panorama of a canola crop near dusk and near work. So, I must say I envy you, Paul, for working in a place or near a place that you can see this sort of scenery. It's totally beautiful. What makes this image so successful to me, and probably one of the reasons why so many of you voted for this as well, is that there's a break in the sun. There's not a lot of cloud in the sky, the right side of the sky, I should say. But then in the middle and then across to the left, there's these bands of big, really heavy cloud. And the sun's breaking through the cloud. And the position that Paul has chosen to shoot this image from actually puts it so that the sun is breaking through the clouds just to the right of a lovely big tree, just one tree that's almost on the horizon. There's some rolling hills in the distance behind that, and the effect that this is, the sun coming through the clouds at the location that it does is having, is that it's lit up a band of the crop that is, it's a beautiful yellow crop that is just sort of off into the distance as far as the eye can see, or at least until it hits the range of hills. But the way it's lit is just really, really beautiful. And you've got these dark patches that sort of two triangles on either side of the field that we're looking at, and it's just a beautiful expanse of this yellow. And I think that the panorama works really well here. I think that I'd love to see what this looks like as a large print, because I'm sure it would be stunning. On one of these big printers that you can get with the roll paper in there, and just sort of put this out at like 5 foot across the wall or something, it would look stunning. But very good, beautiful exposure. I like the way that we've got like 2/3 crop and land, and then 1/3 sky, using the rule of thirds there. And, really just makes for a very, very effective image. So congratulations on joint second to Paul there. And as I said, this was probably one of the most difficult assignments for me to vote for. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll hear from others as well. Maybe you all felt the same way. But there was a number of very, very strong images that I wanted to use my three votes on. But one that got my first place vote. A very, the others were very, very close. One that got my first place vote and sort of stayed there. And then when I went through and sort of ran the little script that tells me who everyone else has voted for, it was like, aha. Because, this is just such a stunning image. It's actually, I've just realized I didn't even tell you the number for Paul's image. That was M11152. If you're listening to the Enhanced podcast, you'll have been able to see it anyway. Or just as a note, you can go to the podcast's page at martinbaileyphotography.com, and there are thumbnails there. So you can just click on those thumbnails as well. To move on, let's take a look at image M11066. And this, for the second month running, is from Leslie Grander Hill, and it's... So Leslie's username is Super Digital Girl, and she's scooped first place again with a totally stunning image of a cranberry harvest. And I was reminded when I saw this image that I'd seen this on a documentary on the TV, but not never having lived near where there's any cranberry fields, it seems that, you know, they actually flood the field. They grow on like a vine, if I remember correctly from the documentary that I saw. But then when they're ready to actually harvest the cranberries, they flood the fields and they all sort of float up, and then they use this sort of a wacky harvester sort of thing to go away and actually harvest the crop, I believe. But I think that that's exactly what we're seeing here. In fact, let me just take a look down at the... let's see. Leslie says, a harvester is surrounded by floating cranberries that are just about to be corralled, loaded on a truck and sent to ocean spray. So yeah, they're definitely flooding the field. You can see they're all sort of laying at equal height. So I was figuring that was the case. But then we've got this machine contraption that's sort of, you know, that's harvesting them up. And I'm going to go down and see what... okay, so the F number here is F5.6, and the focal length is 170 millimeters. So obviously, Leslie has used a relatively long lens to isolate a part of the shot here. And the aperture of F5.6 has rendered most of the background into a very sort of fine but dappled bokeh. So we've got this beautiful sort of red and like a beigey, almost white speckled effect in the background there. And it's just a beautiful, the whole effect, the majority of the frame is just this really bright, vivid red with these white spots. And then we've got the contraption in the middle there from, you know, that starts from the sort of the second third and works its way across the center and to the right side and out of the right side of the image. I think the way we have these, the lines that are pointing out of the shot actually give us the feeling that the image is much wider than it actually is. And I think that the tight crop works very well here as well. So really, really use the lines very, very well here. And there's a line, like again, a triangle that goes up from the center over to the right to these, like a large cog down to a small cog. And that again is sort of leading us out of the image to the right there, but still not in a way that it just takes us away from the image and then sort of leaves us there. You know, it takes us out, but there's so much that we come back, and there's so many lines and things that sort of whiz you around the image that it's really just a visual treat. I find that, you know, there's bits of vine all over the contraption as well, that, you know, you can enjoy sort of looking through and seeing what's in there. Bits of cranberry up on the machine, and just, you know, lots of stuff to feast your eyes on as you sort of, wander around the image visually. So let's see. Once again, congratulations to Leslie for this. Another excellent post, another excellent winner. And I think I'm going to go back and take a look at the scores page. Because if you remember from last month, we actually included the total votes for each person in a graph. Where are we? Actually, it looks like the graph. I need to do a little bit of work here. The one that I've got in the on the page is not the most latest one, so I need to check that before I get it sent out. What I do want to do, though, is go down to the bottom and see. I wanted to look at the main one because, yeah, as I thought, if we look at the yearly accumulated votes, I'm going to have to check this as well, but it looks as though Leslie is now in second place for the yearly prize that I am, you know, I'm still to find, but I've decided that, you know, maybe not make it yearly, but once someone comes along that, or I find someone that will actually... give us something as a prize that you know that I think that you guys will like, then we'll make that the prize for the assignment after we receive that prize, and then it'll be given to that person. One thing that I'm going to say that, you know, it's kind of been difficult for me to decide this, but I've decided that I'm no longer going to give one of my prints for the the prize for this each time we do it. It's like a 6 weeks assignment with 2 weeks voting, so it's generally a 2 monthly thing. And until now, I've given away a print for this each time. But you know, the things have just been getting so hectic that it's really becoming difficult for me to even do the weekly podcast. I actually missed last week. I did the week before, was very late, and I was very close to getting one out last week, but just couldn't make it. And things are just getting so crazy that I'm trying to streamline my life a little bit. And one of the ways that I'm thinking to do this is to stop making a print available to the winners. I will, of course, offer this to Leslie if she wants one, but I think that this is going to be the last time. So if you were hoping to win one at one point, I'm sorry about that. But you know, please understand that it's one of those things that I'm just going to have to cut out, or you know, I'm just going to end up getting swamped too much here. So you know, that's the way it is. But let's move on. I've not prepared any example shots, but I did want to quickly mention that you know, the next assignment is going to be on portraits. And this is one of those that you know that I don't find my, I don't think that I'm a particularly good portraiture photographer, but I, you know, I'm not as sort of, I don't know, I'm not as worried about doing that sort of work myself as I used to be, but this is one of those things that it's a challenge for many people. I know that I don't easily walk up to people in the streets and ask them if I can photograph them. It happens sometimes, and others it doesn't. But I'm thinking that, you know, if we can use this as a way to get people to, you know, to photograph a stranger, that's a good thing. If you really just, you know, like me on most occasions, if you really just don't like doing that, or you just don't feel like doing that, which is often the case with me as well. With me usually preferring nature or wildlife, sort of, you know, grounded images. But I, what I'm thinking is that, you know, if you want to use this to get over some of your shyness, possibly, that might be a good thing. If you don't, then grab your, you know, your partner or your kids or your mom or your dad or whoever, and you know, and just you know, have a portrait session. And come up with something that is stunning and that we, you know, that we're all going to sort of want to vote for. I'm not going to say any more than it's got to be a portrait. But I also, I'm thinking that, you know, we want to go for, I'm not thinking so much environmental portraits as in, you know, one where you can see the person in their surroundings and everything. If that's what you want to do, I guess that's fine. But I'm thinking really, like head and shoulders, or at least sort of, you know, very tight crop on the body, so that we can really see the features and the, you know, the texture of the skin and everything. So a tightly cropped portrait would probably be a better explanation of what I'm thinking. But you know, as usual, this is open to your own imagination. And if you want to do something different, then surprise us. So you know, portraits the theme, and you run with it, and then we'll close that off. So the timing, the schedule for this is going to be, you know, you need to have shot your image after today, which is the 17th of November 2008, and it's going to run for 6 weeks, which takes us up until the 28th, Sunday the 28th of December. And that's basically, you know, it's right towards the end of the year, and I've got a little bit of holiday around there from the day job, and I'm hoping to get out, so I might not start the voting exactly on the 29th, which is what I would normally do, the Monday after the 28th. But I'll put a post in the forum to let you know when the voting starts, so you know, keep your eye out for that. But then 2 weeks after that, you'll be able to vote for 2 weeks until the end of the 11th of January. And then I'll on the 12th, I'll create another podcast, much like the one that we've done today, where I'll announce the winners, and we'll set the stage for the following assignment after that. Okay, so we're going to start to wrap it up there for today. But I, before I sign off, I've got a really big favor to ask you guys. You know, as you know, although I'd been trying to get to it for most of the year, it was pretty late again when I got around to planning the Hokkaido workshop for 2008. And it seems, you know, the global economy being what it is at the moment, you know, we're not getting the take up that I'd hoped. And I, you know, partly because of me investing so much time in the workshop, maintaining the website and doing this podcast, I really couldn't get to the planning early enough to get some advertising done. I'd been hoping to advertise in some magazines in the US and ones that are sort of electronically broadcast around the globe as well, to get some a lot more people involved. But it seems that even though I thought I'd done a relatively good job of getting things planned when I had, it wasn't enough. It wasn't early enough for me to get into the magazines that I'd targeted. So, my fault. But you know, I hope that you'll understand that it's partly because of the investment in time that I give to do this podcast and maintain the websites and things. And so, what I wanted to ask you to do is in payback for my investment, is to, you know, go to the, and if you're involved in any other photography forums or like, you know, maybe photography clubs or anything like that, I'd really appreciate it if you'd start to spread the word about the mbpworkshops.com website and the, you know, the Hokkaido workshop that we've got planned for February in 2009. And let's say, you know, try and drum up a little bit more interest. At the moment, you know, we've got a few people signed up, and you know, I'm sure that we'll get a few more and that it will go ahead. But if we don't get a few more, then you know, it's going to kind of be in the balance because there won't be enough people to, to make it worth our whiles. You know, getting the bus and everything, we've got to split the cost of the bus between all of the people that participate. And if we don't get enough people to make that work, then it just, you know, it'll put things in the balance a little bit. So please, take a little bit of time to sort of, you know, post a link in your own favorite photography forum or community, or even at work and things like that. You know, let people know about the Hokkaido workshop and see if we can drum up a little bit more interest. And also, if you're planning on coming, but you're waiting a little bit more for one reason or another, the deadline is the 12th of December. If you're intending to sign up but you just haven't yet, if you could drop me a line at workshops@martinbaileyphotography.com just to let me know that, then that'll sort of help me to continue my planning and understand exactly where we're heading with this. So that's about it though. We'll sign off for this week, and I'll be back again next week with another episode of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. So in the meantime, you have a great week doing whatever you're doing. Bye bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.